Hello, hello.
Hello, Khaled.
Welcome back to the Kitchen of Big Ideas.
I love that. Welcome to our podcast, episode 2 of Small Plates, Big Ideas. And we are back in Khaled's kitchen once again. That's how we're rolling at the moment. But we might switch it up at some point soon.
And this time I stopped Leonie from getting food because last time she got a lot of gyozas. And I'm a fan of making sure the food is gone before anything new.
Sustainability.
If I didn't tell you about the excess of gyoza, what was in mind? What am I missing?
I was going to bring mochi. I was going to go with more of a sweet, like a dessert style. I was going to go for some mochi today. So maybe that's something that we do in one of the future episodes.
My favorite flavor of mochi was passion fruit.
Refreshing.
I don't know, there was this brand called Moons. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you tried it.
I don't know. Okay. I'm going to see if I can find Moons specifically. Also, if Moons wants to sponsor us, then let us know. Sorry, doing cheap shout outs there. So we've got our small plate and the big idea. So I know that I didn't technically bring the food today. But I brought the food that we were eating last time, and I know that the person who brings the food brings the idea. I also know that we were going to talk about ad fatigue today, but I have another idea that I want to throw on the table. And it's a topic that is generating a lot of emotion in the market right now, and that is the Jaguar rebrand.
Ooh, don't go there. Don't go there.
Why not? Do you think it's unsafe territory?
Just be careful what you wish for. It's a hot topic.
It is. It's a hot topic. It's a hot topic.
But you, being from the UK,
You're also a Jag owner, right?
Why did you like expose my cars so early? Like, yeah, I did own a Jaguar for 3 years, I guess. But yeah, that was when I was back in Dubai. Mm-hmm. Moving to Berlin, I downgraded to a bicycle.
The bicycle and the U-Bahn, that's how we roll. All
right, enough about my automotive experience. So you want to talk about the Jaguar rebranding, which is the hot topic everyone is talking about.
Yeah.
And like everyone who's listening is like, oh no, not another topic about or rant about the Jaguar Land Rover. Not Land Rover. It was only Jaguar.
Yeah. But you also told me before that this part of the Land Rover group.
It's JLR. Yeah. So yeah, definitely. It's like when from a creative agency perspective or media agencies, when you win the account, you win a JLR account. You don't win like a brand. And then maybe you have different teams working on different brands, but in a way, that's how it's structured, at least how I know it.
Yeah.
So since you want to talk about the Jaguar rebranding, I know there's a lot of, it's a topic that is very passionate. It's very emotional. A lot of people in the past 2-3 weeks, I guess, shared their emotions. I personally had a LinkedIn post about this, but I felt what I felt because I've experienced the brand.
Okay. And what was that? Like, if you would be happy to share, like, what would the angle of your LinkedIn post have been?
I mean, in general, I was not against the rebranding, but I was not feeling that it was fair for the loyalty fan base of Jaguar to be left out.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that brands need to evolve, and I understand that we never know what happened behind closed rooms. We didn't look at the dashboards and the investment rounds and the KPIs and the money lost. So I'm sure what they've done is justified, and I'm not here to justify it. I'm here to kind of say, like, there are other ways where you can bridge the old and the new, and you could appeal to your Gen Z audience, like a lot of brands. And there are lots of options. It's a bold move. Hats off for doing that. I have a lot to unpack there, but I'm not going to kind of mumble all through. Like, maybe we can have that conversation and see. So what stuck to you about the rebranding? What do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to also give a bit of my perspective. I'll try to be unbiased as much as I can, but I'm also going to open up a bit on other aspects of why this rebranding works and why it's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
But also why it could have been a win-win-win rather than a win-win-loss.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll elaborate on this as we go. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, I think, I'm going to preface this whole conversation by saying I am not a car person. So what I wanted to share that because you said that you're going to try to remove a lot of bias. And I don't know if that's possible. I mean, like, however, we're always going to be operating in our own bias. So when I speak about like the whole rebrand and rebrands in general, I'm speaking from my own bias. And it might be that I am not Jaguar's target audience. Maybe they tried to make me the target audience with the pink car, but I'm not a pink person. Anyway, I digress. For me, I was definitely surprised when I saw that ad a few weeks ago or whenever it came out. I must admit, the first few seconds of that, I thought it was a clothing advert. And I kept watching it and I'm thinking, oh, what's this? Because they had all of these like flowy dresses and people like dancing around and stuff like that. And then when I saw Jaguar, I was thinking, that's the car brand? So it was surprising. What it did was make me think about the brand, right?
It's a big thing.
Yes, because had it been another car ad, there's these stereotypical car ads, right? Where it's like the country, very smooth tarmac country road with the sea and a mountain on either side and the cars just driving flawlessly down the road. Had it been another ad like that, it would have 1,000% gone right over my head. But it made me stop and think like, oh, what's happening there? So it immediately put Jaguar into my brain. Now, to give context, if last year I had enough money in the bank and I wanted to go and treat myself, and I was thinking about buying me a lovely little, I don't know how little they are, a lovely luxury car, last year I would never have thought about Jaguar. The name, the brand name would never even have popped into my head to say, I'm going to go to a showroom that sells Jaguar and look at these car dealerships.
Interesting. So you're actually reacting to a shock effect, yeah, in a way where it was unexpected. And maybe that's part of what they wanted to kind of...
This is what I'm thinking. And we can see that, like, not just from my shock effect, but from all of the conversations, rants and arguments. Let's put it in, it's not just conversations and rants and arguments that are happening right now on most social media platforms. It has really caused a stir. And you could say that there is the phrase, no marketing, like no marketing is bad marketing, right? Everybody's speaking
any
about...
Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, you framed it way better than I did.
I mean, it's just not... in a way, what I want to add to this, you mentioned, I'm just going to pause on that. One thing you mentioned that you're used to cars being like running through the coastline, mm-hmm, and wide angle shots, something from a drone and so on, showing a landscape. It seems to me like with automotive, it's very difficult to work beyond those shots. They need to fill in because that's their product. But I'm not justifying that fact. What I want to highlight in when it comes to performance, because you come from performance marketing, mm-hmm, the user's expectation, the person who is in it to purchase, to buy a car, which is a big decision, doesn't want to see the people. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see the person driving the car. They want their mindset. I'm talking about the lower funnel, not the upper funnel. You can be as aspirational as you want with, yeah, people and lifestyle and create that association with a target audience. And that's what Jaguar focused on. Mm. What was a shock is that there was no car, but that was intentional because they wanted to make their brand, the rebranding, the hero. They didn't want anything to cover it. And they wanted to keep a teaser effect for later.
Yeah.
But it was the shock, or the unexpectation was their hook. But in a nutshell, when it comes to, in general, car ads, the user is looking for the design, the external, the internal details, the stitching, the leather, the mahogany wood, or those touches, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the emotional bits that are going to give you status or going to put you like in a specific bucket in, yeah, which class you are. Mm-hmm. So there's a psychological pull in that because let's face it, you're not going to go say, oh, this is, I don't know, this has that much braking power and, mm-hmm, so on. People focus on, okay, speed, safety, security, that kind of stuff, depending on what you're shopping for. But like, I just pause here to kind of say it is very necessary in advertising to kind of show this angle of a car driving, because the context where the product sits needs to show the capabilities. If it's a country road, if it's a city that is bustling, the size where it's parking and so on. So it blends the lifestyle based on the city.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the car can only be positioned in a way. Now comes, we go back to Jaguar again. There were lots of discussions and lots of them were heated, and I was okay. I had fun looking at the reaction of people. That's the fun part.
Yeah.
But what really rubbed in a different way is like all those creative directors that came out, like virtue signaling and saying, now that you all spoke and you had your bullshit about Jaguar, mm-hmm. you don't understand anything, blah, blah, blah. So they were like so defensive.
Yeah.
And like to them, do you think Jaguar didn't know that this is going to create that backlash?
Yeah.
Don't you think this is a psychology at play?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, this is music to their ears because they actually created a share of voice and a sentiment there. And a lot of those discussions were like ego-driven. Like, here's my status. I understand creative. You don't. Well, it's actually, even if people who are like trashing the brand, they know deep inside that they are shocked and they're just expressing their emotion. If you're shocked by someone who's just in a context, let's say walking into a church and someone is naked and you don't expect them to be naked, you are going to react.
Yeah.
And this is what Jaguar did. It flipped the script.
Yeah.
And it's natural for people to react. So don't go virtue signaling and giving people shit for, you know, a reaction. And yes, people can react because they're like, usually in human psychology, you resist change, you have a shock effect, and then it sinks in, and then you condition yourself. And that's how it is, something that moves in increments.
Yeah.
And you need to evolve either with the brand or you need to walk away.
Yeah.
But you can't be shut up by just saying what you feel about things. If McDonald's tomorrow changes their whole golden arcs to blue arcs, how
and
many...
started serving...
I don't know.
Like gourmet, gourmet food.
What was this gin that is Bombay something?
Bombay Sapphire. All blue.
Yeah, it's like they started selling Bombay Sapphire or whatever. It is going to cause a stir. So that's what kind of like got me a bit like, why are there, like you're all suddenly brand ambassadors protecting the brand?
Yeah.
And you know, another thing I want to comment on is, so I drove a Jaguar. I bought an F-Type. And I had no affinity to the brand before.
Okay.
I looked at it as the rich man's car, or let's say the premium jet setter kind of aspect, or even like my grandfather's heritage. And I understood from the brand, one of the DNAs is it had its niche audience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jaguar's aspirations are to kind of like break that mold and make more money.
Yeah.
That's, you know, like power to them. The thing is, again, is I remember when I looked at that, the reason I bought a Jaguar was not because of Jaguar. Okay. It was because of Aston Martin.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite brands. I love the design philosophy of Aston Martin. And I remember that there were lots of accents in the design. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the car designer of Aston Martin was hired by Jaguar Land Rover, and then you had like a whole shift in their cars in Jaguar and Land Rover, even like you would see it in the accents of like the door handles and so on. So I was looking at the F-Type, so much resemblance, like the smaller brother of the Aston Martin. I can't afford an Aston Martin, so I went for the F-Type. And it gave me this rush, this agility, this brilliant experience. It was the most fun car to drive, and I felt respected on the road.
Mm.
I shit you not, when I was driving, it's not like I'm driving aggressively or anything. Like, people would give you way. You see nods, you see thumbs up, you'd see...
More than when you're driving the Miles Polos in Berlin.
I'm telling you, like, this is something you cannot know if you don't experience driving in a, let's say, such a, you know, car with a specific reputation or sentiment or whatever, even if the perception is elevated in terms of Jaguar.
Yeah.
I also worked with Cadillac and they had the same problem. Mm-hmm. They were always associated with grandfather's car. They wanted to tap into the Gen Z audience. They worked with Pharrell Williams.
Yeah.
They sponsored a lot of like events or hips and artsy and all that kind of stuff in New York and like all across the US. And even they exported that globally to kind of change the perception. They didn't go through a rebranding, but they did reposition themselves in every aspect in terms of like event marketing, mm-hmm. sponsorships, affiliations with other brands, you name it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Cadillac got it right. What I'm saying is trying to say, like, for me, Jaguar could have created a sub-brand, mm-hmm. or they could have done a facelift. In a way.
We're talking now about like the variations of things that could have happened. So like Jaguar went to the end, like the absolute end of what they could have done in terms of change. But there was like, I don't know, 50 steps that they could have taken up until the point that would have potentially achieved the same or a similar goal than what they set out to achieve.
Again, maybe I wouldn't say that rebranding or like, I don't perceive it as rebranding. It's a rebirth. It feels like a new brand. It's not something that is... So for me, I'm talking in a way, keeping in mind the loyal fan base, the loyal drivers of Jaguar, and sometimes it goes through generations. And you are bold enough, and that's if it's right for you, if you have everything to justify it, then perfect. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what you needed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, like, why go... And forget about that segment.
Yeah.
In a way, I'm trying to kind of maybe, again, go for the win-win-win rather than the win-win-lose.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to kind of grapple with. Maybe I haven't got the whole. I don't know. I need this to resonate much more, and it syncs with time. But because I experienced the brand, and I remember walking out of the showroom. And like having that special Jaguar treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of like stuck with me in a way to kind of like, okay, but I would buy a Jaguar again, even with this rebranding.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know and I've experienced that. Yeah. And I know that what I should expect. That is the packaging right now. And if it serves them to revive the brand and keep it sustainable, then power to them.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be diplomatic, but I'm just trying like,
no.
I'm thinking out loud there. But yeah.
Yeah. I think it's good to think out loud with these things because I think sometimes, and this is maybe what you saw on LinkedIn, people can get very one-sided about arguments. But as you said, this has been thought through. Like this has been thought through. This will have gone through many rounds of meetings, of conversations. And this is, you know, it's often unsexy to talk about these kind of nuances online because people want to be like, you know, really over this side onto the right or really over this side and onto the left. And they want to be, you know, this is how it is. But I love exploring the nuances and like, well, what could have happened? What could have led to this? How does it? Because I think it's in the nuances where you really start to learn stuff. I mean, I've just learned a lot based on what you've said about the experience of being a Jaguar owner and how it made you feel in the past and how you feel about it now. Whereas if you were just standing on the hill and saying, no, the rebranding is terrible, you wouldn't have the room to be like, oh, hey, actually, I would still buy it because of this. You know, we don't have to have always the for and again. And this is, I love these kind of conversations. And I think from my side, I can't speak so much about the cars topic because I am the miles polo driver in Berlin. I've never owned a luxury car, but that's okay. Maybe one day. It doesn't surprise me that people are reacting because, as you said, people don't like change and there is an emotional reaction. I think one thing that I will say is that maybe we've not seen the bigger picture of what they're doing. This what's happened right now is very new. Like there'll be a bigger picture. So I think more things could be covered. And I see that like we've seen that other brands and other people have gone through serious rebrands in the past and it has served them well. I mean, one example that popped up recently for me is like Snoop Dogg. I mean, in the 90s, he was on trial for murder, right? In the early 90s. Have you seen that he's got a YouTube cooking channel with Martha Stewart these days? And he's calling himself like...
You cannot make this up.
Exactly right. And who would have thought of it in the 90s? Like, you know, this hip-hop guy who was... Okay, I'm not a hip-hop head, so if I get things wrong, then don't come for me. But like this hip-hop guy that was like really deep into that scene. And there was, from what I understand, a lot of shit going on in the 90s between the East Coast and the West Coast. I'm going to stop there because that's where my knowledge ends. But now he's on a cooking show with Martha Stewart. And not only that, we've seen him popping up at the Olympics.
Interesting times.
And not only that, I don't know if you've seen this other thing, but he popped up on an ad, I think it was last year. And I need to share this because it's hilarious. I think it's some Austrian SIM card ad where he popped out of the freezer in someone's kitchen and he's singing this really old German song. Honestly.
How did I miss this?
I'm going to send it. We'll also link it in the show notes because also disclaimer, I have learned this song. It is so funny. But I'm just thinking like, look at all of the... And I think there's even been a documentary on the reinvention of Snoop.
Wait. Give me the chorus if you know the song. What does it go like?
Wait, let's...
Putting you on the spot there.
Wait, how does it go? I feel shy now. It's something like... It's just after Weltzusein.
Wow. Some German skills. I definitely want to watch this.
I'm gonna send it and we'll link it in the show notes. But I'm the, you know, somebody's even done a documentary about the reinvention of Snoop. And I'm sure that one of the quotes that he said was like, yeah, I just know how to be myself. But he's gone through all of these rebranding and people still love him, like from all aspects. And he's, I don't know if you could say, because I don't know how, I guess he's still very deep in the hip hop community in that side. But could you say that him doing a cooking show with Martha Stewart has abandoned like...
Look, every time kind of he justifies what he's been through. He's been on all sides of the spectrum, I guess. And right now he's at this inner peace with himself to kind of say, look, I don't care. Like, I know my self-worth. I know what I've done. I know I'm a legend in this industry. I'm someone that, you know, the young generation looks up to and so on. So, you know, blending that together, why not? If it works for him. We went to personal branding. You can go to Eminem and Slim Shady. He started the Slim Shady. He's the badass. And then he went to Eminem to show the mature part and grew a beard. And then... when a lot of people were giving Eminem, they're just being assholes and bullying him and like talking about him all the time. He took off the mask and was like, you know what? If you want the badass, I'm going back to the Slim Shady style again.
Mm-hmm.
And like in his albums, he kind of like plays between two characters. And that's a, you know, functional aspect to have that. And you could create a sub-brand of yourself, but like, I want to go back to cars. When I worked on Cadillac, I worked for GM for about 3 years. I was in charge of GMC and Cadillac. And I remember when I was working with the marketing team, we wanted to create a photo shoot, very specific, to Dubai, where we want to break the mold of automotive photography. That was back in 2014 and 2013.
Okay, so that was wild.
And we had to find a fashion photographer.
Interesting.
To shoot the car. From that lens, we didn't want to give the photographer a brief. We wanted the photographer to apply the Vogue way and shoot the car with a lifestyle lens.
Mm-hmm. And how did it turn out?
I mean, we created collateral that was specific for social. The engagement was crazy over the roof. And it was different because it wasn't, we were always struggling, creating a content calendar of the cars and everything all the time, different locations. Okay, great. But we never had like a storyline that is related to, let's say, high affinity, a couple going for a vacation, having a yoga, seeing the car, not as the hero, but part of the story.
Yeah.
And the people are the, you know, they're well-dressed, they're going through life, entering a gala dinner or something with the support of Cadillac, who is with it being the vehicle of their lifestyle rather than, oh, the vehicle that makes feature. 0 to 60 in whatever seconds.
Yeah.
So that was something that we really enjoyed. And we also used that photo shoot in photo exhibitions and galleries.
Yeah.
And that's how you break into culture and subculture. And I'm not saying, and I think Jaguar is trying to do that, but in a more bold way.
Yeah.
For me, I want to actually, so today, the creative director came out and he was explaining, because Jaguar started with that, and then they revealed the cars after a week or two.
Yeah.
The cars look good. They look, you know, future-proof. They have this element into them in terms of design. The colors are a bit, you know, I'm still taking my time. They called it the London blue, one of the colors. And the other one was called the Miami something, Miami pink.
I've seen the pink one. I haven't seen the blue.
But they were
one.
Linked to London's identity, which confused me. I'm not from the UK, so I don't know.
I also wouldn't consider London blue.
Yeah. But anyway, for me, what didn't really stick with me is copy nothing. The creative director said, like, this is how he briefed his team and yada, yada, yada. But like, I could argue and sit back and say, copy nothing. I think you copied Klarna. Pay now, pay. You know Klarna, right?
Yeah, yeah. The payment.
Yeah. So buy now, pay later scheme kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you look at their art direction, it's very similar in a way from an aesthetic point of view.
Yeah.
I could sit back and say, hey, you got inspired by Barbie, which is not wrong. The Barbie movie. It took the world by storm last year. If you remember, every brand wanted
everything
to do
was
a
pink.
Barbie. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think copy nothing really stands out for me, even from the design perspective. As a Jaguar driver, I knew the philosophy of design was copied from Aston Martin. So it does not really convince me in a way. And that's why I took my LinkedIn post in a way to kind of say, look, great. I respect every creative effort to think out of the box and to shock. I love that. And hats off to them. But I can't really believe the copy nothing was, like, I don't think it has solid ground, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand it.
I think you copied something to desperately get the Gen Z attention.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think.
I think that's happening. We see a lot of that these days, reinvention as opposed to innovation. And is that because there's already so many ideas that are already out there that, like, to truly innovate, not so easy to do, especially like in a short space of time, maybe it's not even possible anymore. And there's nothing wrong with re-innovating, like reinventing things. But as you said, if you're going to go, I know what you mean. If you're going to go that bold, you need to have some solid ground to make sure that people are not poking, because people will poke. People will poke around and people will question it. So I can understand why you've come to that 100%. I've also seen a few other people talk about the Barbie and the pink, because I think the pink color was one of the things that I was most surprised about. I mean, fair enough, the reinvention, but like, not that there's anything wrong with the color pink, but it was like, how can we go that extra mile to, you know, we reinvent the logo, we reinvent the car, we reinvent all of that, and we make it pink. Like, Jaguar has really never been associated. For me, if I've thought of Jaguar in the past, it was always like
executive and
dark green, blue, like those kind of colors.
But it's all good. Like, you know, the color shouldn't define the direction of, like, they can go and explore the whole color wheel and palette. And that's totally, you know, that's what you want. You want the boldness of, you know, of brands like Jaguar to do steps. Like, Apple started with a rainbow logo with, like, all those kind of stripes. And then now it's very minimalistic and white and so on.
Yeah.
There are brands who are going back to retro looks, like Burger King and Pepsi and so on. Right? So it's pretty common in a way. I think Jaguar is going to succeed. And it's going to, from that shock factor, it got a lot of, and we have to wait and see. But my prediction is, it is going to succeed. And I don't know if it's going to transition the people who were under the brand, who were loyal to the brand, who owned Jaguar, to move forward. And they might have that business decision to kind of say, you know what, we want to break up with you. And this is, you know, relationships end everywhere anyway. So we have to wait and see.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I think this will be definitely one that I'm going to be monitoring from time to time, because I'm interested.
I think it's a good also lesson to kind of look at the whole branding journey.
Yeah, like a case study.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Would you actually buy a Jaguar after, like, if this rebranding? Let's say you have the money, all that kind of stuff.
Do you know what? I'd consider it now. Or it would be something that I would look at. At least I'd have the name in my head to be like, I actually want to look at what cars they have available and whether I like the model, whether I like how they look and feel. So it's done something, because in the past, it wouldn't have even crossed my mind. Whereas now it would cross my mind. So I guess in that case, Jaguar, if I am part of your target audience, then you might have succeeded. Not saying that it's going to be next year, but who knows?
Good job, Jaguar. There you go. You have your first testimonial.
Oh,
fantastic. It was fun to speak about this.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. It was cool.
All right. So should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up. And then next time, maybe we get around to talking about ad fatigue with a different spread of snacks.
Yeah. Just don't come with cotton candy.
Okay.
Based on the Jaguar theme for now. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
Ciao.
Bye.